Big Bill Brunzi was one of America's legendary blues performers, an inspiration for many other blues legends and an influence for rockers, including Eric Clapton and Peter Townsend. Yet, the fact of Big Bill Brunzi's life have remained elusive until now. A new biography traces the musician's path from the rural South to the south side of Chicago. From member station WCPN, David C. Barnett has the story of a performer who survived by constantly reinventing himself.
The man who came to be known as Big Bill Brunzi arrived in Chicago sometime in the early 1920s, playing acoustic country blues. Musician Billy Boy Arnold was a teenager when he first saw Brunzi at a club 2 decades later.
This big giant of a guy came in the doorway with a guitar in his hand. And he was muscular. He wasn't fat, black as midnight. And, you know, and drank and, you know, seemed to be a very jolly guy.
I've got a bottle right here in my hand.
Brunzi became the king of the Chicago blues scene, but the king was about to lose his crown. A younger generation of blues performers was starting to pack audiences into Southside clubs. Billy Arnold says everything changed in 1950 with the release of Muddy Waters' Rolling Stone.
I went to my baby's house, and I sat down, hey!
It was real powerful and low down as you could get. And the people really liked it because that's what they feel in their hearts.
So Big Bill Brunzi changed his musical direction. Chicago was home to a growing folk scene fueled by young white intellectuals. It was a time when performers were using music as a tool for social change, and Brunzi was inspired to write what would become one of his most memorable songs.
This little song that I'm singing about, people you all know it's true. If you black and got a word for a living now, this is what they will say to you. They say, if you's white, she's all right. If you's brown, stick around. But if you's black, oh brother, get back, get back, get back.
Black, brown, and white blues was probably heard more by white audiences than black, and despite the song's pointed critique of discrimination, there were some in the African-American community who didn't appreciate Brunzi's shift into folk music. Billy Arnold wasn't very fond of his old friend's new direction.
I didn't like the folk stuff he was doing, and he didn't play that Jimmy Crack on in no black clubs because that wouldn't have went over no kind of way.
Brunzi biographer Bob Reisman thinks that the singer's new focus was just a demonstration of his versatility and his instinct for survival.
I don't think he would have seen that as compromising his integrity in any way. He was a working musician.
But Brunzi changed more than his musical style. Throughout his life, the singer also altered parts of his personal history. During a lengthy recording session in 1957, he told some compelling stories about his childhood in rural Mississippi and about the roots of his music.
My mother was a slave, my father was a slave, and I'm just going by what I got from them about different songs.
But Bob Reisman says the singer didn't really come from Mississippi, his parents were not slaves, and his name wasn't Brunzi.
It turned out that he was Lee Bradley of Jefferson County, Arkansas, about 60 miles or so southeast of Little Rock.
After 10 years of research, Reisman says he's come to reconcile the facts of Brunzi's life with the stories he told.
He treated his life story as a set of fluid possibilities as opposed to fixed events, and his imaginative powers were formidable. As Studs Terkel said, Bill is telling the truth, his truth.
By the mid-1950s, Bill Brunzi was captivating audiences across the U.S. and Europe with his songs and stories. But his newfound success wouldn't last much longer. The singer's health started to deteriorate due to a cancer that was spreading through his lungs.
Bill, you want to hear other sounds?
Yeah, I did, yeah. It ain't too horrible.
Well,
Chicago radio personality Studs Terkel oversaw Brunzi's final recording session, which had been set up by a Cleveland disc jockey. Bill Randall was nationally famous as a pop music hitmaker, having boosted the careers of the Crew Cuts and Pat Boone. In a 1999 interview, the late Randall said, financing the Brunzi sessions was partially an act of penitence.
In the course of it, I guess I developed what you would call a cultural guilt complex. And also I had the money. So I decided that I would just do some things that I thought should be done. And one of them was to record Big Bill Brunzi. I didn't know that he was sick.
I've got the key to the highway. Yes, I'm built out and bound to go. I'm gonna leave here running, because walking is most too slow.
The morning after the final session, Brunzi went into the hospital. He died about a year later. His funeral was an event. Gospel great Mahalia Jackson sang a hymn. His pallbearers included Muddy Waters, Tampa Red, Studs Terkel, and Chicago folk legend Win Strachey. Strachey's daughter Jane recalls that this image of racial harmony was deliberately designed.
My father made sure there were three white pallbearers and three black pallbearers, and he did it very consciously. He wanted it to be kind of a lesson.
As the crowd at the Metropolitan Funeral Parlor sat in quiet reflection, the room filled with the sound of Brunzi himself singing a spiritual taken from the Randall recording session.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Standing at Brunzi's grave in Chicago's Lincoln Cemetery, biographer Bob Reisman says the singer's final encore did not go unnoticed.
The reporters for both of the Chicago newspapers used exactly the same phrase, which was, Big Bill Brunzi sang at his own funeral.
At the end of a life that spanned thousands of miles, a range of musical styles, and a chameleon-like ability to adapt when others told him not to, Big Bill Brunzi got the last word.
Oh, band of angels coming for me. Coming for to carry me home.
For NPR News, I'm David C. Barnett.
Oh, if you...
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Before I...